Good morning to everyone. We'll be in Romans chapter 4 today, the latter part of the chapter. The name of the message is God is Able. God is Able. Romans chapter 4. Starting in verse 20 to 25. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. Abraham was fully persuaded that God could perform what he had promised. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, for our sins, and raised again for our justification. What a mighty God. What a wonderful, merciful Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. In this portion of Scripture, Abraham's faith is spoken of. And believers in Christ Jesus our Lord have been persuaded and taught by the Holy Spirit of God that God is able to perform that which he has been pleased to do, that which he has decreed, that which he has purposed. And we know that we are unable to do it for ourselves. The way some folks talk in religion, you can tell that they think that God is up there reacting to the actions of men. That is not the God of the Bible. He has planned, purposed, and decreed the salvation of his people. And he is able. He is able to save every single one of his sheep. God does not react to the circumstances going on here. He already knows they're all going to happen. And everything is happening according to what he has purposed and what he has decreed. Whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him, God, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Beloved, he works all things after the counsel of his own will. When the Lord Jesus Christ grants us faith to believe, we are persuaded and totally satisfied in the ability of our sovereign God to accomplish salvation for all his people, for we who believe. He's able. He's able to accomplish it all. We have been brought to an end of ourselves. And this is what Christ does. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He brings us to an end of ourselves. Where we see no hope. We see we're not able to save ourselves. But we are given eyes to see. And ears to hear. that God is able to save His people from their sins. And the Lord Jesus Christ did it. We're not able. Oh, but He's able. So we're shut up. We're shut up to Christ. We can't go anywhere else but to Him. And we don't desire to go anywhere else but Him. We're made willing in the day of His power. And we run to Christ. The believer has had Christ revealed to him or to her. And we see our utter lack of ability to save ourselves. The utter lack of ability. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 15. Now in religion, they have a list of things that you have to do or don't do, right? Those of us who came out of religion know that they have this list of things you can do, things you can't do. But you know that it's impossible for them to justify themselves before God by their own works. And yet they don't even know it. I didn't know it until God revealed the fact that I had no ability in myself to save myself. None at all. Is it so with you? And the list just keeps growing. It doesn't get shorter. It just keeps growing. But religion is man's attempt to find God and be saved by their own works and deeds. Christianity is God finding man lost and undone and bankrupt and saving them. There's a huge difference. There's a huge difference. Look in Luke chapter 15 here. Oh, we have a picture of how God is able in our inability. Now remember, the sheep that's spoken of here is lost. He's lost. He's out in the wilderness. But look at this first verse. What a wonderful verse for sinners. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Our Lord Jesus Christ ate and talked with sinners. That's good news. That's good news for we who are sinners. Those who were sin sick, he ate and sat with them. Good news for sinners. He receives sinners who come to him by faith. He receives them. And the Pharisees, here come the religious folks. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Oh, they were so far above the publicans and sinners. Now think of this. They thought they were so far above those publicans and sinners. And here's the God of glory eating with them. Oh, what a great God we have. What a great God we have. Here, right before us in this text, we have the ones who have no need of a physician. No need of a physician, as they thought that they were whole. But they did not know they were full of self-righteousness. And there's Christ eating with the very ones who desperately need Him. Can we not see a picture of us? Before conversion and after. Self-justification will take a man right to hell. And these Pharisees thought that they had the ability to save themselves by their deeds, by who they were, by what they observed. They have no need for a physician. But those who are sick do, right? That's the publicans and sinners. Praise God, that's His people. These Pharisees thought that they had the ability to save themselves by their deeds, but they were lost and in desperate need of the Savior. But they did not see him, and they did not know him. And look, and he spake this parable unto them, saying, so our Lord speaks to, in a parable, as he often did to the religious folks. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? The 100 sheep here pictures the whole number of God's elect. All of God's elect are his sheep. Whether in heaven, or whether called, or whether to be called. This is a picture of God's elect, and only God knows who they are. And the sheep going astray pictures every one of God's elect. By nature, we went astray. Born into this world, dead in trespasses and sins, lost, and we didn't even know it. Out in the wilderness. Out in the wilderness. By nature, the children of wrath, even as others, dead in trespasses and sins. That was our state. Just like that lost sheep. And here is mention of one of those sheep who had gone astray. And as I said, all of God's sheep have gone astray. We're all lost. And we must be found by the great shepherd. We must be found by him. You ever hear people say, I found Jesus? He went lost. We were. We were. What a picture. What a picture of the great shepherd of our soul seeking out the lost sheep. This is to let, one commentator said this, this is to let us know the love of Christ to every one of his sheep, that he loves them with an everlasting love, and he seeks them out. He seeks us out. And think of this, if there had only been one elect, we know there's many, but if there had only been one elect sheep of God, they would have had to be redeemed. They would have had to be redeemed. Christ still would have had to come to this earth. But we know from Scripture that there's a number that no man can number. And he's redeemed them. And this picture here before us speaks of all the elect of God. The lost sheep pictures every one of God's sheep. And note, the shepherd seeks the sheep. The shepherd seeks the sheep. We are lost and undone in sin. And he is able to find his sheep and carry them home. He lovingly draws us. The Holy Spirit draws us to Christ with loving cords. Look, verse 5. And when he found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing, so that sheep can gaze in the eyes of the Savior. So that sheep can gaze in the eyes of the shepherd. I told you guys the story about when I was in religion and they said that the shepherd would break the legs of the sheep. And no. He lovingly picks up that lamb and puts it upon his shoulders. It carries it home, beloved. And this is what Christ does for every one of his people. We were lost. He finds us and he takes us home, beloved. He takes us home. And then when he comes home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. The shepherd's going after the lost sheep until he finds it, then bringing it home upon his shoulders, shows us the infinite love of Christ for his people. The infinite love of Christ, both in leaving his Father's throne in glory, leaving heaven above where the angels worshipped him and bowed down before him, to come and to seek and to save that which is lost, to purchase and ransom his people from their sins by his death upon the cross. And then he sends the Holy Spirit to lovingly draw, fetch in grace, to fetch his people. by the preaching of the gospel. And the shepherd calls the name of the sheep, right? Calls them by name in the preaching of his word. And the sheep, what? Run to Christ. Think of this. Can you not picture a shepherd out in the night maybe calling for one of his little lambs that's lost? And the sheep, in seeing him, what does it do? Oh, beloved, it runs to him. When it hears him calling, it runs to him and finds refuge in the shepherd. Oh, do we not find refuge from our sins in the great shepherd of our souls, the Lord Jesus Christ? He sought us out. We did not seek him. We were lost and wandering around, and he sought us out. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed, when he found me. Is it not so with you? When he found you. Amazing grace. The shepherd seeks out his people. We are saved by his power. He must bring us home to glory. He is able. We are unable to save ourselves. But he is able to save his people from their sins. And he has done it. And in verse 7 of Luke 15 says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Believers rest in God's ability to save his people from their sins. He's our hope. He's our rest. We have absolutely no confidence in our flesh. None at all. None at all. We've come to an end of ourselves. And we say with Paul, we rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. None. None. David said this, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. That which I could never do, I could never save myself, he saved my soul. So let's look at the Word of God and let's see what God is able to perform all things for us in salvation in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 7. And let us remember as we look at these points that our utter lack of ability to save ourselves and the fact that we did not seek God, but that he sought us out. It's wonderful. Because by nature, we would never, ever, ever seek him. Oh, and this is our hope, that if you're one of God's lost sheep, oh, that maybe today he'd rescue you. He'll get all his sheep, there's no doubt. He'll get them all. But oh, that this might be the day of salvation. The day that you hear the shepherd's voice. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, wherefore he is also to save them to the uttermost. Now, folks often say, well, you don't know how bad of a sinner I am. Well, no, I know how bad of a sinner I am, though. And he saved me. And Scripture here declares, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. See, and he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The Lord Jesus Christ is the possessor of supernatural divine power. He has all power, beloved. He's God incarnate in the flesh. And he is able to save to perfection. That word uttermost in the Greek, perfection, to the full, through all time. He is able to save to the full. It's finished. There's nothing to be added. Christ did it all. And we have eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. He is able to save His people from their sins. It's guilt, it's stain, and it's power. He's able to save us from the curse of sin and from the wrath and justice of God, which leads to eternal death. God's people receive eternal life in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are ruined in Adam. Ruined. Fell in the garden. And we fell in Adam. And we come into this world with no ability. No ability to save ourselves. Yet man still thinks he can save himself. But he can't. We have no ability. Unable to improve or change our standing before a holy and righteous God. We're alienated. Enemies in our minds by wicked works. But God in Christ has done what the elect could never do for themselves. He is able to save His people. Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. Our God is able and willing to save His people from their sins. And this is what's vital, too. Folks always talk about their supposed free will, right? The only will I'm concerned about is the will of God for the salvation of my soul. Turn to Luke chapter 5 and we'll see a seeking sinner and a willing Savior. And remember, it's the Savior that seeks out His people, right? This leper came to Christ begging for mercy. And he's like all seeking sinners who have had revealed to them their desperate state before God. Look in Luke chapter 5, verse 12. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. Now that's a picture of us full of sin. Full of sin. This man has no ability to cure himself. None. He's in the latter stages. He's full. Who's seeing Jesus? Oh, he saw Christ. Fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The word besought means to be in want, to need, to ask, to request, to beg. We come before the Lord God as mercy beggars, beloved, begging God to save us. And look at our Master's reply. We see a willing Savior. A willing Savior. Look at this. And He put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou What a picture. What a picture of one of God's sheep being cleansed from all their sins and iniquities. And what? And immediately the leprosy departed from them. What a picture of He who can cleanse one who is full of sin. Full of the leprosy of sin. And how does He do it? By the shedding of His own precious blood, I will. It is finished. He willingly died upon the cross for His people. He is a willing Savior. Salvation is impossible for man to accomplish on our own. The disciples once asked our Master, who can be saved? After He told them that it's easier for a rich man to pass through the eye of a needle, or a camel to pass through the eye of a needle, than the rich man to be saved. They said, who then can be saved? And our Master's reply, our great King's reply was, with man, it is impossible. It's impossible for man to save themselves. But not with God. For with God, all things are possible. He is able. He is able to save His people from their sins. Oh, our Lord Jesus Christ became the surety and the mediator of His people, and He fully accomplished salvation for His people by His life and by His death. He satisfied God's law and justice in the place of His people. He's able, beloved. Sinner friend, He's able. He's able to save to the uttermost those who come to Him. Oh, that He'd make you willing. The second point is, He's able to keep you from falling. Turn, if you would, to Jude. Jude. And this wonderful verse brings great comfort to God's people in the past and even today. Look at this wonderful verse. Verse 24. Now unto Him that is able. Again, we see the same verbiage. He's able. We're not able to keep ourselves, are we? Look at this. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. Faultless. Before the presence of His glory. Faultless before a holy and righteous God who cannot have sin in His presence. Why? Because the believer is clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Oh. Now in religion, I've heard this many times through the years, folks have drummed up a God of their imagination. They've drummed up a God of their imagination who saves people, but then, well, they can lose their salvation. And this is not the God of the Bible. Think of this. If God cannot keep you, then He's not the God of the Bible. Because, and that's a little g they have. That's a God that the idol factory of their minds has made up. But it's not the God of the Bible, because the God of the Bible is able to keep you from falling. He's able. Again, it goes back to Him. The believer in Christ is saved by the power of God. Turn, if you would, to Romans 1:16 and 1 Peter chapter 1. The believer is saved by the power of God, and the believer is kept by the power of God. He is able. Well, we're not able, but He is able. Left to ourselves, we'd be in a heap of trouble. But God is able. Remember, He's the author and what? The finisher of our salvation, isn't He? He's able. Look at Romans 1:16. And remember this, that God's salvation is saving grace. And God's salvation is keeping grace too. And it's all by the power of God. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It's God's power. We are saved by God's power in Christ. The Holy Spirit regenerates us by His power. The power of God unto salvation. To who? To everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then turn, if you would, over to 1 Peter. So there we see the power of God at work in the salvation of the sinner. And now we see the power of God again keeping the sinner. First Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace to be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us. He's the author of our salvation, born again by the Holy Spirit of God, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled. We can't mess it up. Now, it doesn't give us a license to go crazy. Right? We're not antinomian. We don't believe we can walk out the door and do whatever we please. No, the love of Christ constrains us from sin. And when we sin, we mourn. And we repent. To an inheritance, though, incorruptible and undefiled, undefiled, beloved, and it fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, we've talked about a reservation. You make a reservation, and it's waiting there for you, right? Reserved in heaven for you who believe. Look at verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God. Kept by the power of God. Through faith unto salvation. We believe. And we continue to believe. Unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So God is able to do that which we could never do for ourselves. We could never save ourselves, and we could never keep ourselves, because we're sinners. And those of us who are saved, we're just saved sinners. One day we won't sin anymore, and oh, I just can't even imagine how that's going to be. But there will be no sin in heaven. It'll be amazing. Amazing. So that which we could never do, Christ Jesus our Lord has done for us. And He is able. He's able. The Lord Jesus Christ, turn if you would to John chapter 10. The Lord Jesus Christ gives His sheep eternal life. He keeps them. He gives them eternal life. Eternal life means eternal life. It's not temporary life until you blow it. It's eternal life. And it's only in Christ. It's not in anything we do. And this is a wonderful, majestic, mighty Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ gives His sheep eternal life, and they never perish. And beloved, this is precious truth to the believer. Precious truth to save sinners who struggle every day. We do, don't we? Every day. And we have no power to save ourselves, and we know we have no power to keep ourselves. Look at John chapter 10, verses 27 to 30. My sheep. Remember the lost sheep? My sheep. God has a sheep. He has many sheep. They're called His elect. My sheep hear My voice. Through the preaching of the Word. And I know them. I know them intimately. Intimately. That Greek word talks about the intimacy of a husband and wife. They know. I know them. And what? And they follow Me. They follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life. It's a gift of God. In and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And they shall, remember, He's able to keep us from falling, right? And they shall what? Never perish, beloved. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father which gave them Me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one. God incarnate in the flesh, the great shepherd of our souls, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, salvation is in no other. Only in Christ. Only in Christ. We are in Christ and in the Father's hand. What blessed security for the believer. The third point I'd like to look at is He is able to build up the believer. Look at Acts chapter 20. To build up the believer through the preaching of the Word, through the studying and reading of God's Word. God's grace is stripping grace. It strips the sinner of all self-righteousness. It'll strip the sinner of all confidence in his own works. And it builds us up in Christ. It builds us up in Christ. Look at Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. All the gospel strips us of our self-righteousness, leads us away from ourselves, and leads us to the rock. The foundation, the sure foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. The object of our faith. The word of his grace is also sometimes called the word of faith, of truth, of righteousness, of reconciliation, and salvation. Because it's all in Christ, in him alone. It's nowhere else. Nowhere else. The gospel will tear down our refuge of lies. It will destroy the gods of our imagination. Vicki and I were talking about folks who don't even read their Bible, folks who are lost, and yet they think that God will never send anyone to hell, except for, you know, Hitler, of course, and the serial killers and axe murderers and whatever else, you know, but surely not me, because I'm not a bad person. I'm a good person. No. No. There's none righteous. No, not one. None. Oh, he's the Savior of sinners. And the gospel will tear down our refuge of lies. It destroys the God of our imagination, and it will reveal the one true God. The one true God. The one true Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel for the believer tears us down, reminding us continually, right, that salvation is not of our works. Not of our works. And then what does it do? It builds us up in Christ, doesn't it? Builds us up in Christ. And we become strengthened by the preaching of Christ and Him crucified. By the preaching of the one who accomplished, the one who is able to save us. Builds us up, gives us strength to keep going. Oh, it's wonderful. It speaks of our Lord, the great substitute for sinners, who has accomplished salvation for His people. How? By the sacrifice of Himself. He did it all, beloved. He did that which we were not able to do. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the proclamation of the free grace of God in Christ Jesus, who is the only Savior for sinners. The only Savior of our eternal souls. And only He is able, beloved. All the religions in the world are not able to save you or me. But the Lord Jesus Christ can save sinners. And He did on Calvary's cross. He redeemed His people from their sins. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 1. God, by the word of His grace, is able to build up His people. Look at this marvelous scripture. Matthew chapter 1. I know we've read it hundreds of times, probably. But look at the proclamation in this wonderful verse. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son. That's Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. There's his name. The name above every name. The Lord Jesus Christ. And look what he shall do. For he shall save his people He's able. And notice it doesn't say he might save his people. For he shall save his people from what? Their sins. Oh, what a great Savior. What a great God. Think of this too. And how he is able to build us up, right? The Word of God is the children's bread. It's sheep food. It's sheep food. We feast upon it. We're nourished. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. The Word of God is sheep food. Green pastures. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The green pastures of His Word, beloved. Clover. Remember an old grace preacher telling me, once you heard grace preaching, it ruins you for everything else because it's clover for the God's sheep. They just love it. We just feast upon it, don't we? We just feast upon it. God saved me. I'm not able to save myself, but Christ saved me because this Word tells me He did. And I believe. I believe. And we saw this morning in Sunday school that Paul rejoiced when believers believed on Christ, when they had faith upon Christ and their love for the brethren. Oh, what a mighty Savior. It's food for us, though. In the last verse we'll look at is Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. He is able to subdue all things to Himself. He is able to subdue all things unto Himself. Philippians 3:21. Who shall change our vile body? Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Now for the believer in Christ, all their sins have been forgiven. He has subdued all of our sins. Forgiven. And He is able. Now think of this. We are not able to pay for one of our sins. Not one. I can't pay for even one. But the Lord Jesus Christ has paid for all my sins and all the sins of the elect upon Calvary's cross. Everything that God demanded for every single sin that we will commit, He paid it all. Is that not mercy? Is that not grace? We are not able, but by the shedding of His precious blood, He paid the ransom for all our sins. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 9. The Lord Jesus Christ sacrificed Himself in the room in place of His people. He put away sin. He offered up His blood to God within the veil, taking away our sins by His own precious blood. The guilt, stain, and power of all the sins of all the elect, of all the ages. Therefore, justifying believers from any condemnation by His death upon the cross. Look at Hebrews 9:26. For then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath He appeared to what? To put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. The Lord Jesus Christ dies in the room of sinners upon Calvary's tree. He offered Himself up. He died and suffered in the place of His people to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Hebrews 9:26. He is able. He's able, beloved. The Lord Jesus Christ, by His infinite sacrifice for His people, subdued all their sins. This is good news for sinners. Good news for sinners. In one day, beloved, He will change our vile bodies and fashion it like unto his own glorious body. And what a day that will be. What a day that will be. We are unable to deliver ourselves from our sins, but God is able to deliver us from our sins in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have looked at the fact that we cannot save ourselves, but Christ is able to save us what? To the uttermost. He's able to save all who come to Him. Come unto me, all ye that are you heavy laden with sin? Are you burdened with sin? Flee to Christ. Flee to Christ. We are unable to redeem ourselves, but Christ, by the shedding of His own precious blood, has redeemed His people. We are unable to justify ourselves, aren't we? But in Christ, we are justified before a holy and righteous God. We are unable to satisfy the law and justice of God by our own works and our own actions. But Christ has satisfied God's law and justice by the sacrifice of Himself in the place of His people. We are unable to provide for our spiritual needs. But we've looked at God as satisfied and provided all that a sinner needs in Christ. All in Christ. All spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's justification, redemption, sanctification, wisdom. They're all in Christ. Turn, if you would, to John 6:35, and we'll close with this. And think of this too. We are unable to do these things, right? As we saw that lost sheep, unable to save himself. So we're unable to do these things. We're unable to redeem ourselves. We're unable to save ourselves. But Christ is able. He is able to save all that the Father has given Him. And all the lost sheep will be gathered into Christ. Look at John 6, verse 35 to 37. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Oh, that God would make you hungry and thirsty for Him, for Christ. But I said unto you that ye have not seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And look at this. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. May God grant you faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.